I'm Sarah Snyder, and welcome to The Art We Love, a podcast about art and the ways it affects our lives. This week, I'll be talking to Sony about the TV show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Alright, everybody, this is the episode where I lose all my professional credibility and dignity. But before that, we have some ads from our sponsors. First off, Elm Coffee Roasters. Elm Coffee Roasters, open in Pioneer Square and SLU for takeout and soon indoor seating. Order coffee and more at elmcoffeeroasters.com. And the M. If you're looking for a place to live in the fall with student-friendly amenities, spectacular views, and that's walking distance to campus, check out the M Seattle. They are the only student living high-rise near UW, and they've recently dropped the rates on all their floor plans. Visit themseattle.com for more info. All right, so I today am joined by a very special guest, and we're going to talk about a very special show. So Sony, tell me, what is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and what is it about?
I wish I could answer that question. I mean, it starts off, I believe, being canon in the MCU with S.H.I.E.L.D. Phil Coulson is revived after the events of the Avengers. And he's, you know, he puts this little team together and they go and they solve S.H.I.E.L.D. mysteries. And then it just rapidly devolves into fake realities and, like, time travel, space travel, time and space travel at the same time. And, yeah, it's just, like, a sci-fi Marvel show.
Yeah. Like, what isn't S.H.I.E.L.D. about at this point?
Who knows? I couldn't even give you a singular genre that it fits into.
Has it ever done rom-com?
I feel like it tried to with,
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Daisy and Deke. I don't know if that was an attempt.
I was gonna say in season one with the whole cellist thing, but that was kind of stopped. So we're very much ingrained in the culture, listener. So we're really gonna try to keep this at like a 101 level basis. But you know, it's hard. It's hard when you've been like in the like brain sauce for 5 years to like be like, well, how do I explain this in a normal way?
Also, once it gets past season 3-ish, like if you haven't seen the first bits, you're just, there's no hope of getting the rest of it.
There's
nothing.
So speaking of everything, I would like to ask you, what is your favorite crazy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. story? I can start if you want a second to think. My favorite is just last year. I was going to say it feels so recent, but it was literally last year. But I'll never forget it, which is when they leaked the promotional images of the finale, like a couple days before the finale aired. And I just think that blunder is so like quintessentially like the show. And I remember I was at work that day, and I remember getting off work and like checking my phone and just like it was a disaster. It was like a nuclear wasteland. And I think that really encapsulates how buck wild the show is.
Absolutely. There are just no expectations, and yet they are defied every time.
So true.
I think that's the best way to describe the show.
Yeah.
But let me see, like, craziest Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. story. I would just say, like, anytime they went to WonderCon was probably the most chaotic thing ever, especially when they paired up Ian DeCastaker, who plays Fitz, with Ming-Na Wen, who plays Melinda May, because there were just so many innuendos that you could tell Ian wanted to leave so badly, but he was contractually obligated to stay. And I think just every interaction between the two of them from WonderCon that year, was it 2017?
I think it might have been San Diego Comic-Con 2016.
Oh, that was San Diego Comic-Con. Okay, that makes
Again,
sense.
Again, like, I hate that I know that.
But I mean, helpful for this conversation.
It is. Yeah.
But yeah, I would say that, I guess, Comic-Con, where
yeah,
they shouldn't have been paired together, but I'm so glad that they were.
It's such a storied history, this show. So how did you first hear about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and what was it like watching it for the first time?
So I just found it on Netflix because I think it was the summer between my sophomore and junior year of high school, one of my friends was like, we're going to go see Avengers Age of Ultron for my birthday. And I was like, okay, cool. I've never seen a Marvel movie. And we went and I saw it. And somehow that was the movie that turned me onto Marvel, which is a weird choice.
It's so rough.
It is. I was like, oh, I didn't know it got better. But so I did that. And then I came back and I was like, I need to watch every Marvel thing ever. And then again, at that point, I think because it was considered fully canon, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'm going to also watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I just found it on Netflix. I started watching it. And that was a summer where I would stay up to like 5 a.m. watching Marvel movies and Marvel shows. It was like a really interesting experience watching it because it was pretty different from what I was used to in the MCU. And at that point, only season 1 and season 2 had aired, and those were on Netflix. So watching them on Netflix was also a very different experience watching it live for the first time, because mm-hmm. I watched, because season 2 ends with that like huge cliffhanger of like Gemma being sucked into the space monolith, and I was like, hold on.
I was gonna say, listener, if you're like, that doesn't make any sense, well, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Like, I, and then she, like, gets transported to another planet where everything is blue. But we don't find out until season 3. And so that was, like, the first time, because there are a lot of cliffhangers in that show, especially with season 1, with, like, the infiltration of Hydra and everything. Like, I didn't have to wait to see what mm-hmm. was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, like, one of my favorite characters gets sucked into a space rock. And I'm like, wait, hold on. What just happened? Like, what kind of show is this? And then I had to sit and wait until the fall to watch it live. And yeah, I've been watching it ever since.
Yeah, I have a very similar story where I watched the first 2 seasons kind of like, they came on Netflix and I watched them and then I forgot about them. And then they came on Netflix and I watched it and I forgot about it. And then I watched it live for the first time and I was like, oh, I'm gonna like hook my brain up to the mainframe and like just get into it. Yeah. And so building off of that, I would like to know, what is your favorite, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. viewing experience? Like, what was your favorite episode to watch live?
I would say, I think the finale, because, again, no expectations going into it. And yet, like, I was so shocked that it went well.
Yeah.
And also, like, I remember I was talking to you, right, during mm-hmm. the finale. And then I also was talking to another one of my friends who I've, like, known since I started watching the show. And we were texting each other. Like, I was texting both people at the same time. It was very chaotic. And I, like, went to bed with, like, a huge headache, but in such a good way mm-hmm. because I was so invested and it didn't let me down.
Yeah, totally. I was shocked by how good that was. I think my favorite experience was there's an episode in season 6 that came out that was just the most chaotic. For those of you who know, it was season 6, episode 6, Inescapable, and it was just the hype leading up to it and the chaos it left in its wake was just a joy to participate in, truly.
I'm going to change my answer. Maybe the finale was a tie with season 6, episode 6. Also, I think maybe with the, I don't know if the people listening are going to understand what I'm saying at all, but like with the id Gemma and like the Dr. Fitz, like they're two, the alter egos of like the main characters. I would say maybe that was a little rom-com-ish at the end.
I think you're so brave for saying that. And I 100% agree with you.
I think they tried.
The range of this show is just...
Exactly. There's just no singular genre it fits into.
And again, that's why it's very difficult to talk about, because you're like, I have the same thing where like I've been getting into a lot of D&D actual play podcasts recently, and they all go on for so long that I like try to explain to people what's happening. And I'm like, okay. And like, it just, you had to be there. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
So why do you love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? What makes it special to you and or special to the world in general? And also, what makes it stand out among, like, the other MCU movies?
I would say the reason it's special to me is, like, maybe not necessarily all of the different stories or even characters, even though I do love all of the characters and I, like, very much relate to a lot of them, like Gemma specifically. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, the memories that I have attached to the show. Like, watching it that first summer, that was just, like, a really fun summer for me where, like, that's where I realized I like film. And, you know, now I... very soon I'm gonna have a bachelor's degree in it, so woo, exciting. But yeah, so I think like the fact that I started watching it when I was like so young, and it's been such a consistent thing in my life, and it didn't, even though it's crazy and at times definitely has its bad moments, it didn't like completely lose its value, or it didn't like completely become like a bad show, because there are some shows where I also watched Once Upon a Time at the same time, and then after their show ended they were like, let's do one more season, but it's like the same actors, just different characters, and I was like, well, now you've ruined the show. And at least Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like never did that. They like they kept some integrity the entire time. So I would say that like the consistency is probably one of the things that makes it special to me. Yeah.
Before we continue our descent into whatever this is, we have another ad from our sponsors, Elm Coffee Roasters. Open since 2015, Elm Coffee Roasters is devoted to high-quality coffee that's easy to brew at home and a joy to drink. At our roastery and cafe in Pioneer Square, Seattle, Elm obsessively roasts small batches of coffee that they source with a focus on sustainable practices that lift up the whole supply chain and protect the future of the coffee plant. Cafes in Pioneer Square and SLU open now for takeout and soon dine-in service. Please use code PODCAST at elmcoffeeroasters.com for 15% off your next coffee order. So yeah, I really agree with you in terms of like consistency. Because it's, I started watching it in freshman year and it only ended last year. And so it's very much been a constant over a very like chaotic period of my life, because like whose high school experience isn't chaotic? And so I definitely relate to the feeling of like, this is a thing you've sort of grown up with, and it's like, it's there for a really long time actually. But yeah. I building on that, you mentioned that it's, you know, it's had its ups and downs. So I talked about this in my dedicated listeners will know, I talked about this in the last episode, but I was wondering, could you talk about what it's like to love something while also being like critical of it? Because I feel like this is something we talk about a lot in our like own conversations. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And that like being critical of things you love is like just grown exponentially for me, like after studying media studies, like in college. And there are just so many things now where I've still like maintained a couple of like safe spaces where like that I will watch without thinking critically, like if I just need to turn my brain off. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not really one of those. I can't watch that show without, you know, like applying some sort of critical thinking skills to it. But it's really interesting to like watch things that you disagree with, sort of like not just on an artistic level, but like sometimes they'll do things that I feel like morally were incorrect. Mm-hmm. Like like in season 4 when they had Ada, who is like this AI human synthesoid type thing that comes to life, and in this false reality she like takes advantage of Fitz, and then they never really discuss that or even label it as like sexual assault or like anything like that. Mm-hmm. Even though it clearly was, and it was just because it was like a man had experienced mm-hmm. it. So it's really frustrating sometimes to watch something that you love and you know could be better at it like do that, because then it's like you have to look at like who failed at that. Like, was it the writers? Was it the studio that didn't want them to talk about it? You know, like it's all that kind of stuff. And then it's weird to sort of just put that behind you and then keep watching it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really weird experience, and I think, like, maybe it takes out, like, it takes things out of people more than, you know, they realize.
Yeah, I agree, and I think something I've found personally is, like, the older I get, because, like, I've been watching this show since I was 15, and I'm gonna be 21 soon, but the older I get, I feel like going back to those parts I have issue with, the better I get at articulating, like, why. And I feel like it returning to the sort of the same things that have always, like, upset me about this show, I've been able to, like, it's been a good place to develop, like, my, you know, like, critical analysis skills. So it's like, okay, this is something you don't like. Let's explain, you know, why you don't like it. Yeah. In this house, we hate season 4.
That was a rough one to get through. And that was I met Ian DeCastro in the middle of that season.
Yeah.
And that was just like, oh, I have a lot of mixed feelings about meeting you.
Yeah. Circa 2017, 2018 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fandom is, and that's not a reference that's going to hit for practically anyone listening to this, but it was such a
it was a messy time.
Ugh. So has watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. changed you in any way? Has it changed the way you see the world in, maybe?
I would say it's, like, definitely made me consider, like, the concept of time very differently. because, well, I mean, there's just, like, a lot of, like, interesting questions about, like, is time, like, is the future set in stone? Is it, like, you know, can we change it? And I'm sure there are, like, lots of physics people that, like, have a much better hypothesis than me, but, like, it's just something that's interesting to think about, because I always, even before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., was, like, very interested in the concept of time and, like, how people experience it, like, why people are so, like, nostalgic for the past, like, why, what about the future scares people, that kind of stuff. And so watching them explore whether or not you actually could change the future, and then to see them, you know, do it to a certain extent, was kind of relieving, because I think that's, like, someone's, like, everyone's biggest fear is that, like, the future is set in stone and that you can't do anything to change it. So yeah, I've just always been interested in media that explores how confusing and, like, emotional time can be.
Totally. And, you know, some people have degrees in physics, but we've watched seasons 5 through 7 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so we're honestly kind of on the same level.
Exactly. I would say maybe a little bit more advanced.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
It's very sophisticated. Oh, God. Okay. So
they even try to provide, like, a scientific explanation for it on the show, and I'm like, I'm not listening to this. All I think is, like, what you end up with is, that's all I've got. Like, I don't care how you're gonna explain it to me.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. I watched this movie called La Jetée earlier this year. It's, like, one of my favorites now. But I love the way it deals with time travel, and that it doesn't even try to, like, provide an explanation. It's like, yeah, he goes to the past. What are you gonna do about it? Like, yeah. What are you gonna do? So, you know, props to them for that, I guess. So, real quick, who is your, and this is a rough one, who is your favorite character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and why?
Okay, this is complicated because I would say I have my favorite character to, like, watch and I am most invested in, and then I have another favorite character that, like, is my favorite because I see a lot of myself in that character. Mm-hmm. So I'd say my favorite person to watch would be Fitz. Mm-hmm. For so many reasons. One, because, like, the writers just, like, love torturing him, and as much as I hate to admit it, it does keep you hooked, and it does, to some extent, make for good television, even if maybe they take it too far certain times. and also just Ian DeCastro's acting is, like, off the rails good in this show, especially, and this is also, I think, difficult, because his best acting is in the moments I hate the most, like, plot-wise or thematically, and I'm just like, it's always difficult because I want to go back and I want to rewatch those scenes because I'm like, oh my god, you did incredible in this, but also I'm like, at what cost am I watching this scene?
Yeah, definitely.
yeah. So, and then Gemma is my favorite because I relate to her in a lot of ways. Just, like, I think, like, Elizabeth Henstridge always described her as, like, pretty pragmatic and, like, wanting to, like, look at the whole scenario and sort of be, like, the middle ground mediator type of person. So yeah,
totally. I think those are two characters, not to, like, directly state my bias when it comes to talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but, like, those two characters are very hard. You can't really, and they have said this before, I don't remember when or at which convention, but they have said this, you can't really talk about one without talking about the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think my favorite character, I say I think, my favorite character is Fitz. Anyways. Anyways, but yeah, it's, yeah, everyone go stan Ian DeCastaker. He does good stuff, you know?
Incredible.
Yeah, and hey, if you're listening to this, go watch Lost River.
Yeah, definitely. That's my favorite movie. He's incredible, and it is also just the weirdest movie of all time, mm-hmm. I think.
You could do a whole different episode on that. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
before we go, I wanted to ask, do you have a favorite scene or moment from the show? Like some moment that makes you go like, oh yeah, that's why I love this.
Yes. This one is actually relatively easy to answer, and I don't know if you know what I'm gonna say. But it's actually, I can't remember the exact episode, and I feel kind of bad about it, but it's in season 3 when they come back. It's in season 3. They have already come back from, is it, I've never actually learned how to pronounce it. Is it Maveth or Mavis?
So this is, hi listener, it's complex. So it's based, I think it's based on the word death in Hebrew, which is Maveth. But whenever I see it spelled, it's M-A-V-E-T-H. So I've always said it Maveth in my head. So the planet, the blue planet.
Yeah, the blue planet. The blue planet that Gemma Simmons got transported to through that giant space rock. So it's when Fitz has rescued Gemma from that planet, but now he needs to return to find her weird astronaut boyfriend. And it's when they come back and they're in this pod and they're all very slowly walking out in slow motion. The music in the back is just so good. I think that's my favorite piece of music from the show. And you see Gemma look into the pod, and it's still to this day unclear whether she was looking for Fitz or if she was looking for Will. And I think like that I love because it's up to her interpretation, but at the same time, like you kind of know the answer. and then, you know, she's incredibly disappointed because she doesn't see them in the pod just because they were walking out. She was just looking in the wrong direction. But, and then you see the two of them reunite, and then like in the periphery, everyone else is reuniting with like, not necessarily their significant others, but like a lot of them, yes, others like partners, like
bros.
With Coulson and May, you know? And then at the same time, like there's this nice reunion between Fitz and Simmons, but at the same time you see Fitz look at Coulson and they just like shared this look of like, I know what you did, and like we're not really gonna talk about it to anybody else
because they killed a man.
They killed a man on the blue planet, yeah, for context. And it was a man that they knew sort of, but yeah. And like that shared, it was just like the complexity of that scene, even though it doesn't look like it on the surface, is probably like the most representative of like at least the earlier seasons of the show, where it was, you know, less plot twist based and more like emotional relationship type based show. And so I think that was like, I think it's one of like the last big moments before that transforms into like crazy plot twists. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite scene.
Yeah, totally. That was a good one. I remember watching that live and like yelling at my television because I was 15. but I think my... I'm not being interviewed, but I'm going to give my answer anyways because it's my podcast. Yeah. a moment I think is really representative of like the high points of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is there's this moment, and you probably know what I'm going to say, but there's this moment in season 2, episode 11, Aftershocks, where for the whole season, this one character, Daisy, just went through this traumatic incident where she, like, basically got superpowers. It's complex. It's very... my favorite character, Fitz, has been going through this arc where he's dealing with the recovery from this, like, traumatic incident. And there's a moment where Daisy's just realized she has superpowers, and she's, like, terrified by what that means for her. And she, like, sort of breaks down in front of Fitz and says, like... Oh my God, I can't, oh no. She says, I think there's something very wrong with me. And he says, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just different. You're just different now. And that's, oh my God, I can't.
Is it, and there's nothing wrong with
that? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for that professional lapse. I should have that script memorized at this point. He says, you're just different now, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a really interesting show because I think sometimes it does, like, at its core, it's sort of a show about trauma, and sometimes it handles that really, really well. And sometimes it handles that terribly.
Horribly.
Just really badly. Happy May 18th, everybody. And but I think sometimes it also handles that really, really well in a way that I think is really memorable and special. And I think that moment is, like, that's the moment I return to where I'm like, whenever, like, especially when it was still airing, I was like, oh, I don't like this show, you know, like, it's bad. I want to be free. I would remember that moment and be like, oh, it can be really good too. So yeah. Any final Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. related comments before we wrap it up here?
I don't think so, other than if, like, anybody who's listening wants to watch, know that they're signing up for a lot. And, oh, also, I've heard a lot of people say that they stopped watching after season 3, which I understand, but that was a mistake. I think you should push through seasons 4 and seasons 5.
Yeah, my hot take for anyone out there who's like, that sounds crazy, I'd like to watch that. I think it's a lot easier to watch now that it's over, because I think there were a lot of things where the pain of the show was augmented by these, like, year-long hiatuses, and I think,
oh my God,
just because I feel like there are a lot of new fans coming into it, and I think that's because, like, it's not as hard to watch when it's all just, like, there, and you don't have to be like, well, that was a cliffhanger, time to do whatever for 6 months, I guess. Yeah.
It's just constantly on your mind for 6 months straight at that point. Like, it's one of those shows where it just doesn't leave your brain.
Yeah, I think about it a lot, the way I, like, engaged with this show when I was in high school, because I was like, I put so much energy into being, like, on top of everything. Like, I had the Google alert out, I had the post notifications turned on, I was ready to go, I thought about this show so much. I can't put that much energy into anything now. So, you know, that's what I mean. That's, like, you know, that's the point. There's something special about the art you get into when you're, like, in high school and you're just like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna devote so much time and energy to this.
Yeah. And I know that, like, people probably said it, like, as a joke and on, like, Twitter or something like that, but it's like the art or, like, whatever media you consume from the ages of, like, 10 to 15 or whatever, it just, like, becomes a part of you. Mm-hmm. And I, like, I know that we were both, like, a little bit older, maybe, like, 15, 16 when we, like, fully started watching the show, but I agree that, like, so many years have passed. I haven't watched an episode in a while. I'm still sort of following, like, the actors' careers, maybe not to the extent that I was, like, while the show was airing, but at the same time, like, if someone mentions it nearby me, like, my ears just perk up like I'm a dog and I've heard my name being called. Like, it's just, I still care about it so much.
I agree with you completely. And I think, you know, that's part of the reason why I want to do the show, because I think art can have a really real impact. Yeah, art can have a really real impact on, like, who you become if you consume it at the right time. And, like, even when that art stops being sort of, like, relevant, not that it's not relevant, but, like, I don't obsessively rewatch the show, or, like, I don't really engaged with the fan base outside of, like, a couple of friends, but it was such an important part of my life that, like, that's, you know, something I'll always have, and those are, like, memories and experiences I'll always have, because you engage with art and it changes you. I think, yeah. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. I guess it's week 8. Good luck with whatever. Good luck with the week 8 blues. Is that a thing? I don't know. We'll say it's a thing. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Art We Love. The music in this episode was by Blue Dot Sessions. If you would like to come on the show and talk about a piece of art you love, please send an email to theartwelovepodcast@gmail.com from your UW email address with the art you'd like to discuss. Again, that's theartwelovepodcast@gmail.com. And again, please send from your UW address with the piece of art you'd like to discuss. Bye for now.